Good morning,
everyone, brothers and sisters. Today I'll be reading many verses. I did not send an email with those verses, and it would be hard to project with that fast and with that agility also, so we all have our Bibles. When I ask for a reference, please help me as well and keep me in check whether I'm reading correct verses or not. it's a request from my side. So before going into the word, before I share what God has put in my heart, let me pray a small prayer. Living and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord, for giving us this day and bringing all of us together, O Lord, to gather in your name. We thank you and praise you. If we are here today, it is because of your mercy, because of your grace and love, O Lord. As I am going to speak today, O Lord, about your word, what you had put in my heart, lead me and guide me, O Lord. I submit myself into your hands. Help us to listen your sweet little voice, O Lord. Open our ears, open our senses, O Lord, to respond to you. I commit myself and this time into your hands. Lead me and guide me. Use me as your trumpet, O Lord. Not my wisdom and knowledge, but your wisdom and knowledge may come out today, O Lord. Use me, guide me, lead me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 So, before I start sharing anything, just everyone, scan the room a little bit. Scan the room a little bit, right? We have a diversified age groups, right? We have boomers. I'll use the latest language. Please don't mind. We have the boomers, the Gen X, millennials, Gen Zs, Gen Alphas also, like Alexander, Carter. We have every one of them. Just scan around. And keep that in mind when I'm speaking today, right? Think about different age groups and how this word applies to you. Pray that God may speak to you in whichever age group you are in, right? So, let me start from the beginning. Because of sin, there has been a separation that happened in Genesis, we all know, between man and God. There has to be unity. Man has to be in the presence of the Lord all the time, but because of sin, there was a separation. A gap or breach has occurred between the Lord and the human beings after the creation has happened. But that gap or breach was not forever. It has not been there forever. Jesus Christ came onto this earth. He gave himself for us. God sent his own son and sacrificed him to fill that gap or the breach, or that to remove that separation between mankind and God, right? It states in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. I'm reading from KJV. Verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So he gave Jesus Christ as ransom for all. He is the mediator between God and men, right? If you don't know that, this is your chance. God is speaking with you today. He is the mediator. He gave himself for you to remove your sins, to save you from God's wrath, to save you from God's judgment. So this is your calling today. God is asking you to accept him. Before I go and explain anything, that separation has been removed. There is no separation now. you can come to God into his presence because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is your calling today. And you need to accept it if God is speaking with you. Right? Now, there is no separation. Satan failed in his work or in its work, whatever it is. Now, what Satan wants to do is it wants to separate man and man. Because Satan failed to separate man and God, what Satan will try next? It wants to separate man and man. It wants to separate generation and generation. There is a gap that is being formed between generations. People are not talking with each other. People are not communing with each other. There is no fellowship between the generations. That gap, without even knowing, without people realizing, that is forming between people, man and man, generation and generations, right? Over the course of time, a gap between generations has formed and people doesn't have a clue about it. It has happened in Old Testament. It has happened in New Testament. It is happening right now in our day-to-day life. We will see a couple of references where it has happened and we will draw some similarities and apply to the current time period, right? Let's turn our Bibles to Judges chapter 2, verse 10. Judges chapter 2, verse 10. So, in Judges chapter 2, verse 10, I will read it. And also, all the generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. So, what's the word of Lord saying here? There arose a generation after them which knew not the Lord. So, what is this gap is making the people? They are not recognizing the Lord. They knew not the Lord. People don't know the Lord anymore. Yet, the works which he had done for Israel, all the works, all the great miracles that he had done for Israel, people don't understand. The new generations don't understand. That's the case in Judges 2:10. Let's turn our Bibles to Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel, from chapters 14 to 22, the Lord speaks with Ezekiel, stating the condition of Israel at that time, how they are following idols, how they leave the Lord and follow the idols, about the idolatry. So, like in Judges chapter 2, in Ezekiel also, Israel is in the same condition. They knew not the Lord. They are following other gods. They are failing in coming to the Lord. Israel is in similar situation, and God's judgment is inevitable. That's what God said in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. Let's turn our Bibles to 22:30. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, said the Lord God. So God poured out his indignation. He consumed them with the fire of his wrath. Israel is in the same situation in Ezekiel as in Judges. And God's judgment was inevitable for them. Why? Because in verse 30, God sought for a man who can make a hedge and stand in the gap. In ESV it says, who can build the wall, who can save Israel, but God found none. There is no man who can stand in between Israel and God and help Israel to come out of that judgment. That was the case in Ezekiel 22. Now, why God is looking, you can come and ask me or you can come and ask God, okay, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to stand between or to fill the gap or to be the mediator. But now you can ask me why God is seeking for someone else to stand between them, between him and Israel? You may ask that. Can't he come himself and help them? Let's see what God is saying there in that point. Why God is looking or searching for people who would stand in the breach and build the hedge? Can't he come by himself and stand in the breach? Why is he looking for someone else? He sent Christ to fill the gap between man and God, but he is also looking for other human beings to save human beings or to save Israel from the wrath. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Peter 2:9. The answer, we will find it there. Why God did not come by himself and why God is looking for people who wants to stand, who wants to stand and build the bridge. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are the chosen generation. That is why God is looking for you. You are the one holy chosen generation. You should stand in the breach and construct the wall, or you need to bridge that gap between God and human being. You know, one of the renowned speaker, he says, the Spirit comes down vertically where the truth of God is imparted horizontally. Right? God will send his Spirit down vertically. He will have that communion with you. He can commune with you. But the truth has to be imparted horizontally. From generation to generation, it has to pass. The truth has to be taught to your children, to your grandchildren, to the young, right? It cannot just happen. If God wants it, it can. But God is seeking us to do it for him, right? He is looking for someone who can stand there and who can stand there and bridge that gap. The truth of God must be imparted from man to man, generation to generation. That is the commandment of Lord, even in Old Testament. In Deuteronomy, when you see, God says, you need to write down the word of God on your doorposts, and you need to let your children know what I had done for you. That is the responsibility of every single person. No matter you belong to older generation or younger generation. In 1 Peter 2:9, it is not saying, okay, one holy boomer generation, one holy millennial generation. He's saying, you are all one holy chosen generation. Everyone are together, that unity should be there, right? It is our responsibility to stand in that gap and pass on the truth to further generations. So there is the need to close the gap between generations so that who come afterwards will not perish to God's wrath, and God wants us as one holy, united generation. He wants to help each other and lift each other spiritually. Ourselves, we need to work together ourselves. We need to lift each other spiritually, lift up each other spiritually. We need to encourage each other, right? But there is a challenge. There is always a challenge. Satan will not sit silent, right? If God wants something from us, there's always a challenge. So what is the challenge? Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. So what is the challenge? As the generations are getting younger and younger, and the people who follows the God getting older and older, there is this challenge in the world today. What is that? Let me read 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verses 1 to 5. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Sounds familiar? Yeah? Sounds familiar, right? We all, I'm not just pointing out the younger generation, but we all can be in that position. We all care for the life that we are in, for the fleshly things that we see. We desire things. We get angry. We can showcase all these qualities even without knowing. No matter how much we try to get away from these type of qualities, we cannot, because that is the temptation that we have from Satan. But the challenge is this. We have these kind of characteristics imparted in us, but God wants to break that. We lovers of pleasures more than the lovers of God. Right? That is what I want to point out in these few verses. Lovers of pleasures more than the lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. We shouldn't be like that. So that's the challenge that we have today, even in the younger generation as well as the older generation. We can see that. Because of this, no matter to which group you belong to, you should try to build the bridge between the generations. I can build the generation between me and Ryan or me and Vinil. Betty Ann can build the bridge between me and Betty Ann or me and Beulah or whatever it is. No matter to which generation you belong to, there is this responsibility for you to build that gap and bridge that gap. So let us look this issue now. Till now, what we have seen, there has been a gap between man and God, but it has been taken away. That separation has been taken away by Jesus Christ. But Satan is trying to create that generational gap, which is a challenge, and we all are part of that challenge. And now we will look at this challenge from two perspectives, from older people perspective. That older can be, I can be older than Ryan. Some other brother can be older than me. So from older perspective and from younger perspective. From these two perspectives, we will see about the challenges. What are the particular things or particular problems that we see regularly when we apply these challenges to ourselves? So first we will look from older generation perspective. The first thing the old people or the elder people, I just won't want to say elder people, even I can be elder too, to my brother who is younger than me. But the problem here is old generation always looks down on younger generation. Oh, in my days, it's not like that. Oh, in my home, when I'm with my parents, they gave me left and right. I'm not even doing that to you. In some way or other, we try to look down on younger generation. And we will fail to understand from which point of perspective they are coming from. We will fail to understand the challenges that they are facing in this world. We are not in the same situation they are in. The world has developed. There are so many things that are happening around them. So the thing we fail at, or the most important challenge that older generation face, is not looking at the younger generation from their perspective. That is the first challenge. Now, the second challenge. Elders should not pamper the young people. If they are doing mistakes, you should condemn them. You should tell them that they are doing wrong. Okay, if I tell them that they are doing wrong, they might not speak with me. They might not like me. That is some, especially with grandchildren. My grandfather pampered me a lot, more than my parents. So that's why I like my grandfather, right? So not only grandfather and grandchildren, but younger brothers, elder brothers, everywhere. If they are doing something wrong, we need to point it out. That is one of the important challenges. Even without knowing, we will do it sometimes. We will pamper the younger kids, right? We need to we need to be responsible to teach them what is right and what is wrong. Let's look at few challenges from younger generation perspective. I don't know how it was in 1980s or 1990s, but in 2000s, younger generation want to speak. They want to point out their perspective no matter what. From what platform they are on, they want to point out their perspective. We don't even want to listen sometimes. Right? We don't want to listen to the elders. We just want to put out what we know, what I learned. I just want to showcase. I just want to show the world that I know so much. That from that kind of perspective we come from. That is one of the major challenge. We should not be a know-it-all people. I know everything. And that is the temptation. I'm not criticizing young people. Yes, we know because of the information that we are getting. With all the knowledge that we have right now in our hands, we might know, but we need to be patient to listen to the older generation. There is no patience to listen. Always want to express our thoughts and speak. Want to show the world about the understanding that we have. And there is no humility sometimes. And sometimes there is false humility as well. Oh, I'm not experienced to speak about the Lord to that people. I don't have that much of experience to speak about Lord. I am not good myself. How can I speak to others? There is false humility as well. There are two sides to a coin, right? There is the challenge as well. So the younger generation, what we have to remember is we need to be patient sometimes, we need to open up. And sometimes because of this false humility or because of this not opening up and sharing our thoughts, we also fall into the trap of not addressing if there is anything wrong happening in front of them. Maybe some elder person to you doing something wrong. You have the authority to point that out. But that should happen prayerfully. If you address that problem prayerfully, from that experience, leaders will be born. That's how the next generation will get trained. And to know and understand all these things, we need to come to the Lord first. So we need to have patience. The younger generation has to have patience. They have to have accountability for what they are doing. They need to listen to the older people, have patience, and also address some of the issues that you see in your day-to-day life. We need to have that accountability, right? So we have seen the challenges. Now we will see what Bible is telling us, like what are the responsibilities. Now we see there are definitely gaps between the generations, and there is need for understanding all these challenges. And now what Bible is teaching us to do, especially when it comes to the body of Christ. I'm not speaking about outside world. We are not just come as a body of Christ, and let us address the challenges here. Then we can go outside and we can think about, okay, they are doing something wrong. We can take care of all these things. First, come together, because people are going away from the Lord. That's the challenge in Judges. That's the challenge in Ezekiel. And now the same challenges arise. Now let's come as a body of Christ and see what Bible is teaching us with these challenges between older generations and younger generations. Let us turn to Titus, the epistle of Paul to Titus, chapter 2. Epistle of Paul to Titus, chapter 2. I will read from verses 1 to 8, chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. And we will touch upon few things that Lord has put in my heart. Chapter 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in the behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. I don't need to explain. They are self-explanatory. But I will share a few thoughts on these verses. With these challenges from two perspectives, what should we do? How can we make sure that we work towards constructing the bridge between the generations as a church, as a body of Christ, right? First thing that we need to do is, in verse 1, sound doctrine. We need to understand that Jesus Christ is the center. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, no matter how much you know, it doesn't matter. Jesus Christ is the center. Anything that you do revolves around him. Anything that you do, it comes through him. Anything that you pray, it goes to the Father through him. You are saved because of him. No matter what you know, you should not be under the false impression that you had got that knowledge by yourself. The self in you has to die, and Jesus Christ has to prevail. So that is the sound doctrine that we need to remember. And we have the privilege to have that sound doctrine among us. I'm not saying it is not there. We have that privilege, and I praise God for that. But everywhere we go, any type of challenge we face, we need to remember it is through Jesus Christ we can overcome that challenge in our lives. So that is the most important thing. Now, in verse 2, there are responsibilities for aged men. You see how well these 8 verses have been constructed. Aged men, aged women, young men, and young women. Paul has constructed these 8 verses and addressing all of the generations at once. Now, coming to the responsibilities of men, all these things are the expressions that can teach young people, whatever the things that are in verse 2, which is sober, sober, grave. I don't know in other translation what does it mean for grave. Can someone please help me? What does it say in verse 2 after sober?
Reverent.
Right? Uh-huh. So the older man should be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, as well as in patience. That's what we saw, right? Young, older generation, they have to have patience. I mean, they do most of the times, unlike younger generation. But Paul is emphasizing that they need to be reverent. We need to examine ourselves, who are older and who are trying to teach the younger generation. Do we have all these qualities in us? That is the examination we need to have whenever we come or whenever we are getting ready to teach younger generation. Now, coming to the responsibilities of aged women. In verse 3, responsibilities of aged women, what does it say? The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things. That will help the younger women. I'm not going to explain each and every point, but you can examine yourselves. The only question I want to ask is, are you confident that your example is motivating younger women, believers, to live in a way that honors God? That is the question I want to ask and leave it there. Even for the older men and younger men. Older women. Coming to verses 4 and 5, responsibilities of younger women. That they may teach the young women to be sober, that means the younger women also have to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I'm not saying, or this word is not saying that you need to sit home and just serve your family. You can work. That's not the thing. It is mentioning, it is saying that we need to take care of the home first. There might be different ideologies, different perspectives, but the word of God is saying that. I'm not saying it. The word of God is mentioning that. Younger women have that responsibility. First thing, you need to learn from the older women and understand about the importance of taking care of your family, your kids, your younger generation. Maybe you might be a grandmother, you might be mother, you might be a recently married woman, whatever it is. It is your responsibility to take care of your family and to take care of the word of God. And you need to take care that the word of God is living in your family, that you can showcase to the outside world that you are the child of God. Your family follows the Lord himself. Now, coming to the responsibilities of younger men. From verses 6, 7, and 8. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. I just want to concentrate on verse 8 in the second part. That cannot be condemned. We need to speak. Younger men need to speak. But we need to make sure it is that it cannot be condemned. Satan will take any chance to turn your words against you. Right? When you are speaking something, you need to make sure it is backed by the word of the Lord. That you learned something from the older generation in front of you. If you have any doubt, if you have any question, you need to go and seek the understanding from the older generation. We cannot be know-it-all persons, right? No matter how good you are speaking with the Lord, sometimes there is the voice that comes to you and you cannot decide whether it is from the it is the voice of the Lord or it is the voice of Satan. To know that, you need to seek the help of the experienced persons among you, right? Those are the responsibilities, and we need to examine ourselves. Are we following all these things that Paul is trying to teach us? Right? Now, I'm speaking all of these things. There is this question, okay, brother, you are talking all of these things. What's in it for me as an individual? Right? We always think, what's in it for me? How does it help me? Right? What's in it for me or for you? What will I gain from this? There are three points I want to mention. If you try to build the bridge between the generations and follow all these things, you will gain three things. The first thing is familial relationships. No matter how close you are to your parents or to your brothers or to your sisters, you cannot share everything with your blood relations. That's why you need spiritual parents. That's why you need spiritual children. It's a two-way bridge, not one way. It's not me going and sharing pouring out my heart when I'm sad or when I have confusion to my spiritual parents. It's a two-way bridge. Spiritual parents also share something with me. I hope everyone understands this, what I mean by spiritual parents and spiritual children, right? Having that accountability within the body of Christ, right? Having the people who are accounted for you within the body of Christ, within the fellowship. Let's look at some verses to make my point. It's a two-way bridge. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. We all know the relationship between Paul and Timothy, right? We all know the relationship between Paul and Timothy and how close they are. But they are not father and son. But look how Paul addresses Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son. My dearly beloved son. That means they have that close relationship, right? Paul treated Timothy as his own son. As I said, it's a two-way bridge, not one-way bridge. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. In chapter 1, Paul, from father figure, he is speaking to his son, Timothy. And in chapter 3, it is very interesting that Paul said this in verses 10 and 11. Let me read it. But thou hast fully, Paul is addressing Timothy in these verses. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. It is Paul saying that you know everything about me, right? Whatever the challenges, Paul did not see, I'm older than him. Why should I share my difficulties with Timothy? No, Paul shared everything with Timothy. It is the father-son relationship. How you share everything with your father, and father shares everything, his secrets with you. In the same way, between brother and brother, there is this father and son relationship happening. Today, it is very difficult to go and mention the same things to the younger people, or even the younger people going to the older people and saying, it's a very big challenge. Satan is trying to separate you, isolate you, not to share your feelings. When you have temptations, who are you going to? Are you going into your room, sitting alone, and trying to overcome that temptation by yourself? Or are you going to the dearest brother that you have and share it with him or praying with him? That is the challenge. Satan wants to isolate you so that you can become alone and he can snatch you out of that body of Christ. You are not holding your hand of your brothers. Because there is this challenge of judgment. Okay, if I share these things, what that brother might think about me. As I said, it's a two-way bridge. The younger brother can judge the older person, or the older person can judge the younger person. That is the challenge that we have today, everywhere. It is the challenge that Satan is trying to impute and quietly snatch the people out of the body of Christ. We are not looking at those things. I want to challenge you today. Are you looking at the younger people or older people and praying, okay, let me go and have that relationship with that person. Lord, help me to build that relationship with that person. I feel that he might be in a challenge. He might be struggling. Show me a way to go and speak with him. Are we doing that? Are we praying in that way? It's a challenge. I'm not saying you are doing it. You might not be doing it. I don't know. But it's a challenge. That's the challenge God gave me. That's the question God asked me, and I'm putting in front of you. So, first thing, familial relationships, spiritual parents and spiritual children. Second thing, for the younger people, let's turn our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to shew piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. The younger people needs to show affection to their parents or to the elderly who are among them in the body of Christ. That is good and acceptable to God, to take care of the people who are older to you, to take care of the elderly people in the body of Christ. That is good and acceptable to God. That is a kind of worship that we pour out to the Lord, especially the younger people. We need to make a point and build those relationships and help the people who are in need. That is the second point, which is good and acceptable to God. And the third important point is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, which is very important. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. It is imputing the gospel to the younger generations. If we are trying to bridge the gap between the generations, we are passing on the truth. That's what we saw at the starting of when I started sharing. This will help us to pass on the gospel to our next generation, which is very much important. The truth has to be important in the next generation. So those are the three important things which are personal to you, where you can go and say, I gained something from this. If I try to bridge the gap between the generations, I am gaining these things for myself. That is personal. Let's turn our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 58, verse 12. I'm almost there at the end of what I want to share. Let's turn our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 58, verse 12. 58, verse 12. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places, that thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairers of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. We have seen that there is a breach in Ezekiel chapter 22. And now what God is saying, you are the repairer of the breach. It's not, you are the repairer of the breach with the help of the Lord. As we saw, the truth has to be imparted horizontally. That means you are the repairer of the breach. No one will come and stand there unless and until you make it a point and you realize that is your responsibility to stand in that breach. You are the restorer of paths to dwell in. Raise up the foundations of many generations. You should be raising up the generations of many. You should be raising up the foundations of many generations with the help of the Lord. You are the repairer of the breach. You are the restorer of paths to dwell in. Now, in Bible, there are many use cases that we can turn to what people has done. To build this bridge, there has to be a change individually that needs to happen within all of us. We can take encouragement from the people who are in Bible who tried to build this bridge between the generations, right? God gives us use cases in Bible as examples. We need to have some qualities as an individual to be repairer of the breach between the generations. Let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 18, verse 26. Acts chapter 18, verse 26. Let me read it. And he began to speak. So he, meaning here Apollos, it is the story between Apollos, Aquila, and Priscilla in verse 26, chapter 18, verse 26. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla has heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of the God more perfectly. Teach like Aquila and Priscilla. Recognize the need to teach, what to teach, and how to teach it, right? You need to recognize the need like Aquila and Priscilla. That quality, you need to have that quality. You need to pray for that quality. If you want to teach your younger person or younger generation, you need to have that quality like Aquila and Priscilla to recognize that there is need to teach that person. Here, they looked at Apollos and they understood he need to have the understanding of the Lord, or he need to know about the way of the Lord more perfectly. That's what they recognized, and they want to teach him that. And in the same verse, there is this another person. When Aquila and Priscilla wants to teach, there is this person Apollos who wants to learn, right? Learn like Apollos. Be ready to learn from the persons who want to teach you prayerfully. There is need for younger generations to know about the way of the Lord more perfectly. To know that, you need to learn from the elders who are more experienced in the Lord. It doesn't mean they are perfect, but they have more experience about the situations in their lives, and you can learn from that. So learn like Apollos, teach like Aquila and Priscilla. Third one, be a peacemaker like Moses. Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 106, verse 23. Psalm 106, verse 23. So, here in verse 23, therefore he said that he would destroy them. It is he, meaning here God, said that he would destroy Israel, had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Who stood there? Moses stood there between Israel and God. Because of that, the whole generation of Israel has been saved. When the problems are there in Exodus, when Israel retaliated against God, Moses stood there. We all know the story. He prayed for Israel. He is the person who stood there. So he is the peacemaker. So we all need to be peacemakers between brothers. Even if it is between you and other person, or something is happening between two individuals, you need to be a peacemaker. You need to go and intervene in a godly manner, prayerfully. Be a peacemaker like Moses. And Moses is the chosen person, and we are all chosen generation. We already saw that. We are all one holy chosen generation. And we are all chosen to be peacemakers. Forgive like Joseph. We all know what happened in the... we all know the story of Joseph. He stood between the dying generation, all his brothers, and he brought them out of the calamities, and he took care of them. If Joseph couldn't forgive his brothers, he couldn't have saved them, the whole generation of Israel. So we need to forgive like Joseph. Even though someone, knowingly or unknowingly, did some bad things to us, we need to forgive. We need to forgive them like Joseph. Be an intercessor like Esther, prayer and fasting. Esther, in chapter 4, verse 16, I don't want to go there, she fasted for the people of Israel to save them. We need to pray and we need to fast to build the relationship between our brothers. I want to share a small testimony how God taught me this. So there is in Michigan, there is this brother. We never quarreled, or there are no differences between us, but we never got along in the church. He's at the time we both were single. We never got along for some reason. So after some time, we both are in working in the ministry in different areas, but we need to communicate. And it was not a pleasant experience every time. So I started praying, Lord, I don't know what has happened. If I had said something wrong, I don't know. But reconcile both of us. Let us reconcile with each other and have that good relationship. He is the brother in Christ. So that's what I prayed, and I almost prayed for 1.5 years. I don't know. I don't remember. But you know what God has done? He made me his neighbor after I got married. We lived within yards. My wife knows who I am talking about. He made us as neighbors, and eventually as neighbors we spoke with each other. We had meals with each other, and that reconciliation came in that way. We need to pray sincerely if you want to have that relationship with your brother. So these are the qualities that we need to have if we want to build that bridge between the generations. There is that need right now. There is a challenge. The younger generation, or whatever generation it is, they are getting away from the Lord. They are forgetting about the Lord. They are not recognizing the things that God has done for us as human beings. So let me recap. There is a gap, definitely. God is looking for people to close that gap. You and I are the chosen generation. We need to stand there as the repairers of the breach. And we need to pray that we bring as many people as possible into the body of Christ. It is our responsibility. Every one of us have responsibility to be the repairer of the breach. Not me, not just some other person. Every one of us has that responsibility. Let me pray. Living and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord, for giving us this day and for giving us this word to meditate upon, O Lord. We come before your throne, O Lord, with the challenges that we are facing now as the body of Christ. We pray that you help us to be the repairers of the breach, and you give us the power to be like that. Whatever qualities that we had seen through your word, O Lord, help us to practice them in our day-to-day lives. Help us to seek your face, O Lord, to see what is wrong within us, and help us to build that bridge between the generations, O Lord, so that we can impart the truth in the younger generation that are to come, so that we can be helpful to raise the leaders who work for you and your kingdom, and so that we can praise you until you come for us and until we be with you one day, O Lord. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come in and